recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. We're out at Duncan, 2234 North Mount Juliet Road here in Mount Juliet, as we're taking stuffed toy donations for the Nashville Children's Alliance. So appreciate everybody that has come through so far. Now we say hello to one of our favorites. He is always going to be known as Coach, the commissioner of AF1, and, of course, a part owner of the Nashville Cats. Jeff Fisher is on with us now. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for the opportunity, and I need to take this moment in time. You guys are doing what you do best, and that's giving back, and that's recognizing the importance of our position sometimes puts us in another position where we can help, and that's what this is all about. So I commend you guys on that. It's really a good deal, especially during this season.
Well, we appreciate that, and, you know, always try to do something, but I know that how much you enjoy doing that, you know, even now, but back with the Titans and the Rams of this time of year. I also saw a story that I had forgotten about from Thanksgiving where you tricked the rookies. I think it was 2003 or 4, and they thought they were getting a free turkey, and they were not.
Well, yeah, I'll go into it. I was pranked my rookie year in 1981 by the veterans, and I thought I was getting a free turkey. It's been going on forever. We just took it to a new level here, and if you ask any of the former players about you know, Thanksgiving turkey pranks, it was awesome. We've got video. We got all over. But, yeah, we did it year after year after year. It was one of my favorite meetings of the year, that and daylight savings time. So just where you could get a chance to confuse the guys. But, yeah, we did a lot in the community. Now, keep in mind, yeah, we pranked our rookies, but we also took a lot of free turkeys out throughout the communities and all those kind of things. Yeah. But it's an ongoing thing. I hope none of this year's rookie class not listening, because they won't go for it next year. So
it was certainly a good one. So the schedule is out for AF1, and, of course, the Nashville Cats. 7 home games will be at F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville, and I know you have to be excited about that. Friday, April 17th, against the Michigan Arsenal will be the home opener and the season opener for the Cats. But this is pretty cool because you're the only AF1 team that's going to have 7 home games of the 12 games scheduled. That's really neat.
Well, it really is. And, you know, I first have to, you know, commend the group, the management group with AF1, because scheduling is not an easy thing, especially when you get the different dynamics and the venues and this and that, the different teams and everything. But we got it done. They pulled it off. And, yeah, to think that we're going to be in a position to have 7 home games is going to be really good. It just shows you, you know, what the league's perception is. And again, I let them do this, but what the league's perception is of this market and how impressive things are at F&M Bank. And so really excited about opening up. And then we got some challenges. We have back-to-back home games 2 or 3 times, maybe 2 in there, and then we'll go on the road and we'll come back. But, yeah, it's lining up really well. I know you guys got the dates, but it's lining up really well for us. And we've gotten a tremendous amount of feedback already on social media. We have a pick your seat day scheduled tomorrow up at F&M Bank starting at 10 o'clock. Coach Arbett's going to be up there. I'll be up there. And season ticket holders will be able to come in and select their seats. So this was good timing for us. We needed to get this schedule out. It's out. We've had numerous conversations, conference calls with the rest of the ownership groups around the league, and everybody's excited about it.
We're talking to Jeff Fisher on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Coach, I remember you walked up to Chase and I during the halftime of one of the games up there at Clarksville that was sold out, and you were just – you weren't talking. You were just looking around and staring, and I said, everything's okay, and you're like, look at this. And it, you knew then, right? You had something because it was – those games up there, Coach, were really special. But you knew then, right? You had something good?
We did. Of course we did. You know, we had a year – you know, one game the previous year, our first year, we had back-to-back. We finished the season up there with the regular schedule, regular season schedule, and then things fell into place and we came right back immediately following, you know, the next weekend for the playoff game. And, you know, they just, there was standing room only. It was just one of those things that, you know, there's a great relationship between indoor football and between that community and a lot of communities across the country, but this one's different. And so we wanted to take advantage of it. And, you know, again, like I said, we appreciate what you guys have done for us. We're really excited. We got a lot of fun stuff ahead.
What was it, not only with Nashville, you know, with the Nashville Cats here, what did you see around the league that you thought, all right, 26 is going to be fantastic? Because it was really good here. There are other teams that are really good. But what was the thing that, like, all right, we're going to have a great 26 because of this? What was that?
Well, it was the ownership group, the new groups that came in. We had hoped to have a couple more teams in the league, but – you know, if they're not ready, they're not ready. The league's not going to take, you know, end up taking them over. So we got a really solid ownership group, you know, with Beaumont, the relationship that we have already with Northern Kentucky, the Barrels up there. Unfortunately, we only got one game against them, but they're the team to beat already. And then, you know, what we have going with Albany. And as we look at the schedule, the Albany games are slated for later in the season. And, you know, so there'll be a lot going on. But the big thing was just, you know, the relationship between the franchises, between the players and the community. And we just felt like this was a tremendous opportunity for us to move up there.
First home game, Friday, April the 17th against the Michigan Arsenal, then Saturday, April 25th versus the Washington Wolfpack. NashvilleCats.com for more that going on. I'm looking at the teams. I'm looking at the schedule. I'm looking at the travel. I'm looking at everybody involved. I mean, it's at the perfect time, right? April, May, and June, Coach. I mean, this is – we all love football, and this is something to get our appetite going until the fall. But understand, this is a lot of fun. We saw it last year, but – I think you guys fit this in perfectly where we could have a really good summer watching football.
Well, I appreciate it, and we love to have you guys involved and appreciate what you've done for us up to this point. It's been really exciting, and, you know, there's, as you say, you know, you got the drafts over at the end of April, and then, you know, you're going to have some spring games and things like that stuff, but nothing going on with respect to football, and that's why the indoor game, the 50-yard game, is just different and special because it falls at a perfect time of the year. And so we worked hard to get the venues, to get the availabilities, and make sure everybody was happy with it. And so we're excited. Now we're just going to promote it. You know, we're just going to promote it. The teams are being built. The coaching staffs are you know, in place, and the rosters are being built. And, you know, we just got a lot of fun stuff ahead as we push through the holidays.
How, Jeff Fisher is with us. How important is it now? And, you know, yes, you have some new franchises that have entered the league or have moved around. But, you know, for a team like the Cats to build upon what happened last year, you got Coach Arbet coming back. You're going to have, you know, guys on the roster that are back, which I think is important. So now that you're in year two of AF1, how important is it to continue to build year after year?
Well, when you say build, you know, I think it's two things. One, build your roster and build a championship team. We have the ability to do that. Coach Arbet has done that his whole career. But secondly is build relationships in the communities. And we want, you know, again, you and I have had these conversations. I mean, we're second generational Nashville Cat fans right now. I mean, I thought, yeah. You know, you got kids who are parents now. They're buying season tickets because they cherish that memory that they had when they were coming to games. So, you know, it's build those relationships, and I think the Clarksville community is ready for it, and as we are.
It's so funny when whenever Joe and I have a conversation like the day or two before about what happened when with the Titans, and then all of a sudden we get you on a couple days later. What do you remember about draft day in 1999, the conversations that you as the coaches had and maybe you and Floyd had leading up to the pick of Javon Kearse, and how much of a game changer drafting him was for not only that year but the franchise moving forward?
Great question. We had been working behind the scenes, Floyd and I and the staff, obviously, through the move in 97 and then – you know, Vanderbilt, and then, you know, and the Memphis and everything. And so we had been putting the roster together, and that one missing piece that we all agreed on was that game-changing pass rusher. We needed to go find that guy, and we did. And Javon, you know, along with the rest of his defensive teammates and things, were a big part of our success, not to discount the importance of the offense, but you know, that was just that missing piece. You want a defensive player. You see him, you know, we see him in the league right now. One got traded from Dallas to Green Bay. But we needed that guy to where that it would create problems for offenses. And I'll never forget, I think we're in Pittsburgh. It was the last regular season game. It was kind of like the Millennium thing and all that. But Javon got that sack, and he set the rookie sack record. And he was kind of doing this thing where he was spinning his finger around like he was holding something, and he was spinning a record. He would want people to know, this is it. I got the record. And he did. And he was just a huge impact, a great person, and one of the most athletic, gifted football players, pure athletic ability to do things that I've ever been around. And that translated over into rushing the passer. And, you know, we did make our defensive line coach happy, that's for sure.
Right. But, yeah, Coach, had he not gotten hurt and not gone to the Eagles, how great could he have been? He was good. How great could he have been?
Well, I think he, you know, from an injury standpoint, and unfortunately this is part of the league, but I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer if he doesn't get hurt.
I agree with that.
You know, just the things that he did, and athletically, it was amazing the things that he was able to do. You know, on the field, just change the direction and speed and acceleration, and then you know, Coach Washburn did such a good job working with him his rookie year. You know, with refining the pass rush stuff and the hand placement and the stance and the get off and you know all that stuff, and he just continued on, obviously, until we went to Philly and then had the injury.
Coach, I love talking old football with you. I know I brought this up to you before, but 40 years ago, I think it was last week, the Bears lost that Monday night game to the Dolphins down the Orange Bowl. You've told me some great stories about that, but I think when I look at it, I'm thinking, how the hell was that 40 years ago? And you still got vivid memories of that game on Monday Night Football, only game the Bears lost that year.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of one of those deals where, you know, Buddy admitted to it years after. He was hard-headed, and he wanted to beat the 3-4 wide receiver offense and Dan Marino with his base defense and have Mike Singletary play the deep half and things like that. It just didn't work out. And then, you know, we didn't have Jim, and it's just kind of one of those things that happened. But sometimes then, you know, during the course of a season when you know you got a really good team, sometimes it's not a bad thing to get a wake up call. And, you know, unfortunately, historically, you know, we will not be there with the Vikings and the undefeated season, or the Dolphins rather, in the undefeated season. But it was quite an ordeal, quite a game. It set the 85 Bears up, as you know, I was able to, you know, share everything and travel with them and practice and all kind of stuff. It was that loss that turned the table around and got us focused.
Absolutely. My last question for you, and I love asking guys this who've been in the league and played in the league, who do you think, Coach, is the best quarterback of all time?
Oh man, that's a hard question. I'm biased because I think that I have to, my list got to come from, game, either those I played against or those I coached against.
Yes.
I think, and not to discount anybody, but I think Joe Montana needs to be up there. I was with the 49ers for a couple of years. They were in transition from Joe to Steve, and Joe had done all the stuff and won the Super Bowls, and all that. But to see him do things on the field that he did with his eyes and his vision and all that kind of stuff, I'd put him up there, but I'd also have a 1, B, C, and D if I could.
Right.
Because they're so talented, today's quarterback is so different. I mean, you look at the stuff that Josh Allen's doing, and Justin Herbert down there the other night with a broken hand. I mean, it's amazing what these quarterbacks are doing right now. So I think maybe you should have rephrased the question. Can we pick the best one in different eras?
Yeah.
Because the eras are just they're just so different. Just watching these guys play, it's amazing play. And now all eyes are going to be on Indy to see what Phillip's going to do.
What do you think he's good? What can he do, do you think, at 44, Coach?
I'm going to tell you what. I don't think, we won a lot of games. I won a lot of games. I want to say the me thing. But I can't remember beating Phillip Rivers. he was so good and the release and the accuracy and competitive and tough. Now, there's people out there who say, well, no, he doesn't have a chance. He's 44. I'd be one of those guys to say, this is a really, really tough dude. He's a grandpa. I don't know how many kids he has, but he's extraordinarily focused and tough. And so I wouldn't be surprised if, he puts up some good numbers for them. I wouldn't expect him to get the point, push him, take him to the playoffs, but I'm going to watch. Now, he's got to get through practice, he's got to get through that first hit, but he ain't going to take a hit. That ball's going to come out. And he's so competitive, I remember during that era, thanks for the opportunity, it was like, oh, man, I got to play Peyton Manning this week, and then we got to go play Phillip. Are you kidding me?
Was there a moment, Coach, was there a moment in watching Brady? I think 2002 was the first time you would have faced him where you saw something in a game or on film that it was kind of like, okay, yeah, this guy's different.
Oh, yeah. Every time you played him. I mean, that's why I was saying I got to go into the eras. Obviously, he's up there the greatest of all time with what he was able to do, and saw what happened when he left, but he also saw what happened when he went down to Tampa Bay. So, it's his understanding of the game. He never got rattled. Everything was just a chess match, and he was so focused, and he knew exactly what he needed to do and how he needed to do it. And now it's pretty impressive how he's able to communicate that to the NFL fan base, with the broadcast. He's extraordinary. So, but yeah, he. We had one up there where I think we had 0 points and they had 56. So that was a tough go. But he was always prepared. He knew what he needed to do. You couldn't fool him. He threw a pick. It was because the defensive line got his hand up or a receiver went off a receiver's chest or something like that. You couldn't trick him. You couldn't confuse him. You couldn't get him to hold the ball. So we can talk forever on these guys.
Yeah, for sure. I was trying to look up Phillip Rivers and when you guys would have played him. I believe the first time you played him was in 2000. It was 2006, September 17th, 2006. Chargers won 40-7.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, we were in a rebuild there.
Yep.
So, yeah.
The playoff game in 07.
Was it Vince? Yeah, it was Vince, right? It was Vince.
Yeah, Vince
it was the playoff game we lost, yeah.
Yep. Oh, Vince, that's right.
Rookie year. Yeah. So, that was a rough go. I mean, Gates, the tight end, I mean, the players that he had, you know.
The running back wasn't bad either.
Right. Guys in the Hall of Fame.
I said the running back wasn't bad either in Tomlinson.
No. Okay. He had some Hall of Fame players around him, and I think he was a major part in those guys making it to the Hall of Fame. But,
no doubt.
Yeah, he's special. Yeah. So, again, like I said, all eyes are on him, man. I can't wait to see what happens.
It's going to be fun. We can't wait for the Cats to kick off in April. Coach, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you for the trip down memory lane, as always, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Coach Jeff Fisher joining us here on the program. We always appreciate him. We will come back. Willie Geis from NBC will join us in the Today Show. We'll talk some Vandy and much more with him. Chase and Big Joe, we're live today in Mount Juliet, 2234 North Mount Juliet Road here in Mount Juliet. Bring a stuffed toy by for the Nashville Children's Alliance here on 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.